bless us here and send your Holy Spirit to open your word to us. And God, help us to hear from you and just receive from you tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning, this evening, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 7. I want to talk about, I guess, sharing the Lord with people, right? Witnessing. Sharing the good news that God has given us. And you know, that's so important. Have you ever thought, what's the purpose of church? What's the purpose of coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday nights, or whenever, right? What's the purpose? What are we supposed to get out of this? Well, I think, you know, well, part of it is worship. We do this in honor to God and worship him. Part of it, too, is to be guided and to be built up by one another. But, you know, part of it is to learn the word of God. And the purpose for that is not only for ourselves, but to share with others, too. That's the main thing, isn't it? That's the Great Commission. And, you know, as a church, that's what we should be doing. And maybe that's what I should be preaching about more, or maybe that's what our program should be set up more to do, is reach out to other people. Because imagine, and this portion of Scripture brings this out so well. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, we'll start reading in verse 3. 2 Kings 7 verse 3 says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" You know, there's famine in the land, and an enemy army had come up against the city, and they were kind of locked inside, and they'd waited them out until they ran out of food. And you know, when they were on rations like that, they stopped giving these lepers food. So they were waiting outside, and all they're going to do is starve to death. So they said, "Why should we sit here and wait till we die?" They said, verse 4 says, "If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. What good will that do us, right? And we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall unto the hosts of the Syrians." You know, let's try them out and see if they're going to let us live, right? "If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Verse 5, "And they rose up in the twilight," in the night, right, "to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the outermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.'" Verse 7, "Wherefore, for this reason, they arose and they fled in the twilight, and they left their tents, and they left their horses, and they left their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life." Verse 8, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it." Verse 9, "And they said to one another, 'We do not well.'" We're not doing right. "'This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light come, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were.'" Verse 11, "And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within." And you know, then the king, at first he didn't believe it, but he went out and discovered it for himself. But you know what I want to focus on this point here is those leopards, right? You know, they were in a situation where they were going to die either way, it seemed, right? Their only hope was if the Syrians would give them a little mercy and give them some food rather than kill them outright for showing up in their camp, right? So they went there and they discovered what God had done. They discovered that the Syrians had heard a sound that God sent, and they all fled thinking an army was coming at night to ambush them. So they left everything behind, their horses, their donkeys, all the food, they would bring their belongings and their gold and silver to the battle with them too. They'd wear their ornaments of their gods and things like that. They left that all behind and fled. Wow. Now the lepers, you know, they didn't have much, did they? And they maybe they were counted by everybody as good as dead. But you know what? They got something, didn't they? They found a treasure, didn't they? And so they had it. And what did they do? They ate and they drank and they took some of the riches and buried them. And they came to another tent and did the same, took more riches. And then it occurred to them, look it. Our people are starving in the city. And here we have all this and we're not telling them. He says, you know, when light comes, and they find out, you know, maybe we could say when the Lord comes, and we've got it and haven't shared it, what are they going to think? They'd probably kill them, you know, for not sharing that wealth or letting the city know when they found out that the army was gone, wasn't it? You know, but it's such a thing with us too, right? We've experienced the gospel of good news. You know, and it was a miracle from God, right? And we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. That's the last thing we need to do, isn't it? You know, who was saying just before church about something wonderful and somebody said, you know, you should share that with others? Just before church tonight, somebody was saying that. My memory's bad. I can't remember who that was. But it's so true, isn't it? When God does a wonderful thing in your life, we need to testify to it. Tell others. Share with others. It's an excellent place to start a conversation about God. It's an excellent way to show people who are discouraged that they can be encouraged. He did it for me. He can do it for you. Right? And, you know, we've got to remember this. We live in a dark place. Right now, you know, sometimes we feel like the enemy's got us all buckled in or something. Oh, the world's so hard and cold that it won't listen to us anyhow. But you know what? These four lepers, they had nothing to lose, right? So they went and they found food. And you know what? God had made a way for them. And you know what? If we obey God, he'll make a way for you too. Isn't that the truth? God will open the doors. He'll move the enemy out of the way. He'll give you away. You know, this week, wow, Monday morning, I went to work and I led the activity director to the Lord. Isn't that something? I mean, and she wasn't kidding. She was in tears, crying. And when she's done, she says, I feel so happy. And she gave me a big hug. And she said, please come to my house. You got to share this with my children and my husband. You know? Wow. So then I went the same place. I also shared it with three other people, and each of them said the sinner's prayer with me. I mean, I don't push it because I don't want a false profession, but they understood, and they did it. And then Tuesday, I led someone to the Lord. And yesterday, it's amazing. Yesterday, I went to, here in Kettlebrand Gardens, I went, and there was a lady that normally had been really sharp and everything, but she'd been to the hospital. She came back, and there she is, and back in an easy chair with oxygen on, with her eyes closed, and she's saying, someone come and help me, come and help me. And one of the aides said, she's so afraid. And I went and sat with her a little bit, and she said, I'm afraid. And I said, what are you afraid about? She says, I'm afraid of dying. And so I started explaining how we're all sinners and how that none of us deserve heaven. But by the grace of God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I said, what you need is a savior. She realized she was a sinner. And I said, what you need is a savior. That's why Jesus Christ came, to save you. I said, you need to make him your savior and your Lord. Follow him. And then you can go to God and confess your sins and repent of them. And God said he would forgive you and give you eternal life. And she said, yes, and we prayed together, and she received the Lord. You know, wow, is it me? How come this hasn't been happening for years and years? Well, you know, it happened occasionally, but I think God's just making a way. God's just making a way. When we make room for God, when we put God first, when we reach out and dare to do it, you know, good. And I got to say, this Evangelism Explosion program is the best preparation for doing it that I've ever come across. I mean, it's hard work. There's a lot of memorization and stuff. But you know what? It comes at an angle that's right, that precludes a lot of distractions, precludes a lot of arguments, precludes a lot of things like that. And it has a good, solid, well-founded word, and it leads you right through that where you can explain plainly and clearly, showing that we're all sinners, showing that they're sinners, showing that if we're judged by our sins, we're going to hell. And then ask him, what can we do? Asking them the question, if you met God today and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell them? You know, so that way you discover where they're coming from, what their beliefs are, and then you can talk to them right where they're at. An amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And I pray, you know, we went to Florida. I led my two grandkids to the Lord. What a beautiful thing. You know, these lepers, though, they didn't sit on it, did they? They got guilty, didn't they? Isn't it so? When you think about it, so many times we sit here, and I hope the word's good enough where we're feasting on it, right? Or we go home and have a quiet time, and we feast on it and all that. But you know what? We got to look around, isn't it? Are you having trouble in your Christian life? You know, Pastor John told me last night, if you're not sharing God's word with others, you're going to crumble. He says, you got to share it. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to give to others. You can't just come and eat and eat and eat without giving out, right? What happens to people if they just sit down and eat and eat and eat? They get fat, right? They get sick. Life is tough. They never feel good, the whole thing like that. But you know, if you have a balanced diet where you're eating and giving and working and things like that, it's much better for you. And spiritually, it's the same way, isn't it? I think the church has forgot that, hasn't it? You know, I was raised in a church where they never did that kind of thing. They never evangelized. Of course, we never knew how to get to heaven either. But we know we've been born again. We're saved. We got the treasures. The enemy's tents are spoiled. Hallelujah. We're free from sin. We know the good news, the gospel, the riches of eternity. And we can't just keep them to ourselves. Don't worry. If you give them away, God replenishes them. You won't be without. Matter of fact, the greatest joy to a Christian is sharing the gospel with someone else. That's the greatest joy. That's where the joy of the Lord comes. You know, these guys, they got guilty about it, right? They discover that deserted camp, and they realize their life has been spared. You know, that's what happened to us, too. We discovered Jesus, and we've been spared, isn't it? You know, we've been given the wonderful food that we needed when we were on the verge of leprosy and death, right? Rejection. Imagine a leper. You know, he was just rejected by everyone, wasn't he? Nobody could come near, anything like that. You know, that's how we are to heaven without Jesus Christ, aren't we? We're like a leper. We can't come in. We can come in. But through the good news of Jesus, you know, we've been cleansed. And we've been adopted into the King's family. And we need to share that, right? We can't forget those that are dying without. You know, they almost forgot those people in the city that were starving. Remember how bad it was in there? Women were actually eating their own children and stuff. That's how bad the starvation was. You know, look at what the world's doing. Shooting in schools. Teenagers committing suicide. Drugs all over the place. Rejection of God because they've never really heard the gospel, or maybe they've never really seen a Christian. You know, we think, how can that be? Well, I tell you what, I didn't meet a Christian until I was about maybe 25 years old. Went to church all my life, but I never met a Christian. Isn't that something? Wow, we've got something. We need to share. We're to be a light in the world. The world's a dark place, isn't it? But we, having Jesus Christ, are the light. We're to be salt. You know, you add a little salt to the whole pot, and the whole pot gets seasoned, doesn't it? It can change things very greatly. We've got wonderful news, right? Don't hold on to it till morning, right? Give it out. Give it out. Pray for God. Pray to God for someone to share it with. I think he'll answer that prayer. I think he will. It's really good. Let's go to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. The book of Jonah, one of the minor prophets, right? Doesn't mean he wasn't worth much. It just means his book is shorter. Now I got to find it. I should have written down the page number. I always have trouble finding my way through the minor prophets. And I'm doing it tonight, too. Okay. Oh, thank you, dear. I was only 10 pages away. There it is. Chapter 3 of Jonah. You know, well, if you had to describe Jonah in a couple words, what would you call him? A reluctant prophet, right? God said, go to Nineveh. He said, I don't want to. And he went the other way with that, right? Well, in chapter 3, this is where the Lord sort of catches up with him there. So let's start out with verse 1 of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now, where was Jonah at when the word of the Lord came to him the second time? In the belly of the fish, right? Or the great fish. May have been a whale or something, but whatever it was big enough to swallow him in one gulp. Yeah, I just get a kick out of that one gulp thing. Somebody said, in one gulp. And I said, why do you say that? He says, because if it was two gulps, he wouldn't have been very good. Right? It had to be one gulp, okay? So he swallowed him in one gulp. And here's the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Verse 2, what did he say? Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You know, Nineveh might have been a great city. It was very big. It was like 3 days' walk across, they said, with that. But you know what? It wasn't a good city. It was a wicked city, isn't it? You know, this world, too, it can have great things, but that doesn't mean they're not wicked. And God was sending them to this wicked city. And why Jonah hated them so bad was because they would do mean things to Jewish people, like skin them alive and things like that. Jonah hated them. He didn't want to go there. He wanted God's judgment to fall on them. But, you know, God did a little tweaking there in the belly of the fish. And Jonah was downright happy to go back to Nineveh after that, wasn't he? Verse 3. So Jonah arose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know, sometimes we got to remind people too of the coming judgment, isn't it? There's a day where the Lord's coming back and it'll be too late. The gates of heaven, the gates of grace, the age of grace will be over. And all those who don't belong to the Lord will be lost, right? Once the master is risen up and the doors are shut, they will stand outside and knock, he said, right? Well, he's warning them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believe God. And they proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him. He took his fine clothes off, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Wow. You know what? I made a list here of things. I was reading a commentary, things that we should do as we proclaim the word of God too. Nona mentioned these things, a condemnation of sin, how God condemns sin, isn't it? We need to mention that God is holy and righteous and just, and he will not lower his eyes or have sin before him, right? Hallelujah. And the certainty of judgment in 40 days, he said, right? Well, there's a certainty of judgment coming to this earth too, isn't it? And the necessity of faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Our only hope is salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. That the necessity of faith in Christ and a need for repentance. You know, these people, they put on sackcloth and ashes and they repented, right? And you know, we should have that love of God that we're sharing and the love for the promise that he has given us for the forgiveness of sins, right? Have that love and share that love with people. And we should be praising God and reminding them of the glorious hope to whom all who truly believe they'll receive, right? That glorious hope. We've got a good message to share, don't we? We have a wonderful thing with that. Wow. So what they did there again in verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Cry mightily. You know what? Sometimes that's where we've got to start. We Christians, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, right, and seek my face, cry mightily unto God and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear and I will forgive and heal their land. Right? So, and let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Remember Isaiah 58? Where, man, God was accusing them, you know, the believers, the Jewish people who were serving God, of all the sin. And he said, if you'll turn from that, stop pointing your finger at each other. Give them food, help them, you know, all this kind of thing. He said, then your darkness will be like broad daylight, like noontime. And he would bless them and he'd restore them and rebuild the broken foundations. You know, it's got to start somewhere. If it doesn't start with you, it doesn't matter where else it's going, right? It has to be in you, each one of us. We have got to make the decision. It ain't just going to happen because some other people are praying. You have got to come to the place where you humble yourselves and you seek God and you turn from your wicked ways. You know, so often we're not aware of our wicked ways. That's why we got to seek God. He'll point them out. We can be so full of pride. We can be so stuck in our wealth. We can be so lazy in our hopes or whatever it is, but God will show us whatever it is and be willing to give it up to God. Isn't it? Be willing to give it up for God. Hallelujah. Heard somebody saying on the radio last week, I think it was Adrian Rogers, he was talking about this preacher that he really finally got the message that he needed to give it to God. You know, he had a visiting preacher come in, and this guy was just full of the Spirit. And after the service, he says, I want what you have. He said, what can I, how did you get it? And he said, you got to turn everything over to God. Everything. And you know, and he went to prayer and he sought God in tears and everything. And he said, God, I give you everything except this one little thing. You know, he just, you know, and the whole thing. And you know, he said the Lord gave him a vision, like there's a whole keychain, all full of keys. And he took off the keys, all of them, and gave them to Jesus, except for this one little key. And the Lord immediately sought that key and says, I want that one too. That one, Lord? He said, yes. And so he reluctantly turned it over to God. And he said, and his life started over. The joy of the Lord filled his heart. The newness of creation came into his heart again. He had the joy of the Lord. Isn't it? We have got to give our lives to God. Our lives. Why do we hold on to it? Look at the world we're living in. We may not even die a natural death. The world may end before we get that far. The Lord may come back before we get that far. But either way, what have you got if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Why is it that we think that something we have is better than the fullness of God? Aren't we foolish? Where do we get this? Has the devil blinded our minds? Are we so earthly and worldly that we can't even see the eternal promises of God? Right? Call to it. You know, Jonah had some real arm twisting there going on in his life for him to open his eyes and go to Nineveh, didn't it? With that. But Nineveh needed it, didn't it? But look at sometimes that's how God's got to deal with the church before he can get them to go out to the world. Isn't it? Let God have his way with you. Turn your life over to him. Become a new person. You know, somehow we should all resemble Paul in some way. I don't know if we're going to go overseas or something, but we could go as far as our neighbor or something. Right? We could take God's word somewhere. We should be carrying it. We should be giving it out. You are prophets of the Lord. You've been gifted in the spirits of God. You've been empowered with the knowledge of the gospel. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. What more are we waiting for? What do we expect, right? What do we expect? It's your life. Don't let pride hold you back. We call it fear, but it's really pride. I'm afraid I'll look foolish. That's pride. I'm afraid he'll say no. That's pride. I'll be disappointed, right? All that. But you know, somehow, be led by the Spirit. Pray. Seek God. Humble yourself. Seek his face. Seek him until you find him, right? Pray for the door to be open. Let God break your heart and fill you with the newness so that, you know what? And you might have to go out there and talk before that happens, right? I said the greatest joy is sharing the gospel. You might have to go share it. You know, Jonah wasn't the most eager prophet here either. He's the reluctant prophet, wasn't he? He didn't want to go out there, but God used him when he did. Even when you think they would never listen, not Nineveh, they'll never listen. He probably thought he was bringing the judgment of God upon them, right? But they repented in sackcloth and ashes. They even put it on their cows. And their cows, could you imagine God hearing all those people crying out and the cows mooing away too? You know, wow, what a thing. Let's go on. So verse 8 again says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Isn't that something? You know, God heard and God cared and God did it not, right? With that. It's amazing what might happen if we'll be faithful to God, isn't it? And do what he called us to do. What is the purpose of the church? You know what? My life is being turned around a little bit here. I work and work, you know, I get so concentrated on living a sinless life or trying to repent of this and trying to get this right and trying to, you know what? When I turn my eyes and my heart on other people, those things get taken care of. Much more. You know, when you're out blessing others, God can take care of you a lot better, isn't it? Because, you know, it'll take all my life. I'll never get it right. I'll never be perfect. You know, some of the sins that I thought I shed when I was in my first year of Christianity are back again, right? But if I go on and do what God has called me to do, the fullness of the Spirit will take care of a lot of that stuff, won't it? Just do it. Get your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on God's will for you, right? And God's orders and instructions for you. Put your eyes on what you can do for God. Remember, Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. You know, ask not what God can do for you, but what can we do for God, right? He's given us eternal life. He's promised us all the treasures of heaven. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Get on with it, right? Let's get on with it. Let's go look at the Great Commission here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16. Okay, and it says there, then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, we're getting near that part, aren't we? The end of the world, I think, with that. But what are we to be doing? Go into all the world and share this gospel, right? Baptize them, teach them, show them what God commands, how to live. You know, they won't find it out there anymore. I remember right here in this church, right about here, a couple nephews were here, and at that time, they're only 12 years old, and one of them was, and his little brother was 11, right? And I don't know what we were talking about. I was trying to share the Lord with them. And he, you know, and we meant something about, you know, sex and all that. And he said, adultery is a sin? He said, it's on TV all the time. He was shocked. He didn't know that even. Our world in some ways is so far from God that they don't know right from wrong anymore. They don't. Matter of fact, they think good is evil and evil is good a lot. We are to be about that, aren't we? Sharing the gospel, living the gospel. Right? Sometimes that's going to speak a lot louder than your words, isn't it? Just living the gospel with that. But we're called to do that. And how important it is that we don't neglect that, right? You know, our witness, our authority out there talking to other people, who are we to tell them? Our authority there is given by the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the one with all the authority over heaven and earth, and he told us to do it, right? And you know, he's got that authority, and that's the basis for our authority too, to go out and make disciples and preach and baptize and teach others, right? And with that same authority, don't be shy about it. Be wise, be meek about it, be loving, be filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, right? But make disciples for his kingdom, isn't that? You know, this last week we were finishing the last chapter of the book of Acts, and in there it mentioned that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God as he was in Rome locked up in a, well, not really locked, they gave him a house to rent, and he just had a guard there in the house with him and everything, but he taught all who came about the kingdom of God and said, what is the kingdom of God? You know, John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom is near. Jesus said, repent for the kingdom is near. What are they talking about? Well, I think they were talking about Jesus, right? Jesus, when he rose again from the dead, the kingdom was there. We've received the kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're walking with God, but there's more to come, isn't there? The Lord's going to come back and judge this earth and reign for 1,000 years. And at the end of that, what? Satan's going to let loose and build an army and come against God's people, but God's going to send fire down from heaven and destroy them and take Satan and throw him into the bottomless pit forever and ever. And then comes a new heaven and a new earth, isn't it? And the city of God comes down here to earth, and God will be our God, and we will be his people. What a wondrous thing, isn't it? The kingdom of God. And it's near. You know, we got to remember that's a hope of the glorious hope that we have, isn't it? The life with Christ that lives forever and ever. And you know, we need to share that. Jesus' commands compels us to witness. That's a strong word, compel, isn't it? It compels us. What does that mean? Like, you got to do it. You're commanded to do it, aren't you? It orders us to do that. And it's so easy to forget about it. Why? Because it's not the norm for the church. It's not the normal. You know, I didn't hear about that. I was raised in the Catholic Church. They're not evangelists. You know, the Catholic Church got so big, they had a lot of kids. That did it. That'll multiply it. right, with that. But you know what? We're to be evangelists. There's a lot of the unknown world out there, the world in darkness, and we need to go out and get them, you know? You know, another thing that I read in the commentary that was kind of important, it says, you know, a person's last words are very important. They're probably saying something that they think is very, very, you know, not always, but usually they say something that they think is very important to them. And look what Jesus' last words were. We just read it, didn't we? I have power over the heaven and the earth. Go out and tell it. Go out and be there. And he said he'd never leave us, not to the end of the world, right? You know, he said he'd always be with us. And those were his instructions. You know, by his authority, make more disciples. Go out and preach and baptize and teach. That's it. Boy, I'm putting us all on the spot tonight, huh? But we got to do it. You know, I think it's the best thing we can do for our own spiritual walk, for our own joy, for our own fulfillment of having a fulfilling life. It's absolutely in obedience to God, and it's the best thing we can do for a lost world, isn't it? It's the best thing we can do, all to the glory of God, isn't it? All to the glory of God. Anything we do for the Lord Jesus is all to the glory of God. And this is to the glory of God too, isn't it? I tell you, did you discover when you became a Christian that you got the best boss you ever had? I mean, he didn't have me do things that I'd never thought I'd do. Me behind a pulpit? You got to be kidding. You know, I melted in the public light, you know? Now I'm a ham. But, you know, what a difference, you know? And, you know, he surprised me. But that's how he is. You think this is going to be a crummy thing? No. Remember, the 70 came back excited. They cast out demons. The power was in their hands. You know what? You'll never see more miracles than when you're sharing the word of God with somebody else. You will see. You will be inspired. Thoughts will come to your mind that you never knew. God will give you inspiration and in-depth knowledge that you had no idea before. The Holy Spirit will bring it right up to you. Why? Because you're about God's business, and it's somebody, that kingdom is on the line for them, isn't it? And God loves them so much that he gave his son to have those people. Right? So we need to be about his business. Isn't that exciting? Therefore, what should we do? Go! Right? Maybe not right now, but go, right? The whole thing. Go! We got to be about that, right? We might not be an evangelist in a formal sense, but you know what? Evangelism doesn't have to be in a foreign country. It doesn't have to be far away. It can be with your neighbor. It can be at the grocery store. I remember John Wilson. Remember Bill Wilson? He used to come here. He passed away a couple years ago. But his son John is in Mexico. He took over his ministry. And he came back once. He said, being a missionary is not what you think. You know, being a missionary, the more reality is, maybe you're sharing the gospel with somebody while you're filling your tank with gas at a gas station. That's where you're going to meet them. Where else are you going to meet people, you know? I am so blessed to be able to work in the assisted living place where I have all these people around, and most of them don't know the Lord Jesus. Most of them have been in church. They're religious. They're interested. And they're excited to hear, to understand the gospel and the good news. You know, what a blessing where every day I can go out and you know, it's just an endless sea. People come and people go. People are there and people die. And new people come and take their places. It's an endless sea. You know, and you know, the world is like that, isn't it? You don't know who you might meet that you'll never see again or that'll never have another opportunity. They might be off. They might be gone. But we are here. And we should share it while we have the time, while we still have the ability. You know, we're getting older. We might not be able to in the future. Who knows? But now we can use it. I think it was Jonathan, one of the early Jonathans there, not Jonathan Edward, but the very famous preacher there. He said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. You know, he was sick. Every time he preached, he'd throw up blood and everything. And the doctor says, quit preaching. He said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. I'm not just going to sit there with God's word and not do it. You know, and one day after he was done preaching, he did die. But praise to the Lord, he's in heaven, right, with that. And he did God's will to the best. Let's go to the book of Acts real quick. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And we'll start reading with verse 1. Acts chapter 1 says, and the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know what? These people knew God was alive, right? That Jesus was alive. Do you know Jesus is alive? Do you believe Jesus is alive? Do you believe he's the Lord and your Savior? You believe you're going to see him one day? Well, then you better start obeying him, right? We better do what he says. If we know he loved us so much, he died on that cross for us. He rose from the dead. He came back and taught them about the kingdom. And look what he's done for us. He sent the Holy Spirit that we could have him in our heart day by day. Why do we hold back? What are we holding on to the world for? Right? Aren't we silly? We don't make sense. Let's go on. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should what? Not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. You know, he promised that God was going to send them the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, he said, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we have been, haven't we? Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You know, they just had their eyes on the world, right? Are you going to give us a good president now, Lord, that we can rule the world? That's what they were thinking, right? Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, that's what he wanted them to do, wasn't it? Guess what? That's the same thing he wants us to do. We've been endued with power from on high. Now go out and be witnesses, near and far, wherever you can be. Let's read on. Verse 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. There they were, marveling at the work of God. Jesus just ascended up. Wow, look at them. They're standing there, and all at once there's two men in white saying, hey, this is not what he called you to do. You know, so often that's all we want to do is gaze up into heaven and wait for the promise and, you know, just self, 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 indulgence, indulgence, indulgence. And he said, get to work, right? Let's read that again. Verse 10, and while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This Jesus, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. You know what? We got to remember, Jesus is coming back, right? He reminded of that right away. He says, you can't stand just looking into heaven and wait for that wonderful day. We're to be working. He's to find us working when he returns. Hallelujah. I remember hearing an illustration once about, some guy saying he wanted to live life where he just comes sliding in right across the home plate, you know, full throttle when his life is over. He doesn't want to just go walking around the bases, right? He wanted it to really be living life to the fullness, to the end. I know of no fuller life than sharing Jesus Christ with other people. It'll make you happier than racing cars or playing baseball or listening to records or watching TV or reading a book, you know? There's nothing better, isn't it? Don't you love it when you know something that they need to know? And when you finally find somebody who realizes they need to know it, and you see the joy of the Lord and the fullness of the Spirit burst in their lives, right? Isn't that it? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we pray for? Isn't that what we look for? Isn't that what we say, God, I wish you'd use me. But you know, so many of us, me too sometimes, get so discouraged we don't even think about it anymore. Right? We just, yeah, and something else is on our mind. But you know, that leaves a bad trace in us. I remember there was a time in my life where You know, I had witnessed to everybody that I knew all the time, you know, and the whole thing. And I was going to church over at Horicon, and somebody heard me say something, and they mistook it, and they went and told Pastor, and they thought it was against Pastor, and Pastor was mad at me, and the whole thing like that. And here I am running the halfway house, and I had no friends in the halfway house because I'm trying to be, you know, run the halfway house. And now I didn't have any friends at church. And I remember a speaker came into church there, and, you know, at the end of the service, he called me up, and I could just see the pastor thinking, boy, is he going to get it. But you know what? The preacher says, I can see you just standing there, and you're looking this way and that way, and you just don't know what to do. Boy, he had me really read out good. And he said, you should go out to the street corner and share the gospel of Christ. And you know what I thought to myself? Been there, done that, didn't work, I ain't going again. That's exactly, you know, I was so discouraged, I was so depressed, I was so spent out, you know, my own brothers and sisters wouldn't talk to me about it anymore. And he told me to go out there again. I wish I would have went, but I didn't. Remember those fishermen, you know, we fished all night and nothing, but this time the Lord went with them and they caught abundantly, right? Or he said, throw the net on the other side of the boat and you catch. You know, it could have been a whole life-changing thing. Don't let yourself sit on the shore, right? Don't get discouraged. Trust in God. Somebody told me last night, he said, you know what? He said, you just keep planting seeds. He promises you're going to have a harvest. It's not maybe you'll have a harvest. You will have a harvest. Be patient. The farmer waits patiently for the crop, right? You will have a harvest. There's no doubt about it. You just be faithful. And you be out there for the Lord, you will see results. Maybe not now, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year, but you will see results for the Lord, and it'll come. And guess what? When a farmer plants, he's going to get three things. He's going to get the same thing he planted, right? And I forget what else he's going to get. But the last thing is, and he's going to get more than he planted, right? He's going to get more. So hold on. Right? Well, I guess he's going to get the same thing he planted. He's not going to get it right away, but he will get it, and it will be more. That's it. He's going to get what he planted. He's going to get a crop, and it's going to be more what he planted. Isn't that true? God is abundant. You will see it. Be faithful. Hold on. Be encouraged. We're not promised what results we're going to get, right? We're said, go out and do it. Go out. Make our life that way. You know, like I said, I am so blessed to be in a position where I have people every day, and they know I'm a pastor, so guess what they think I'm going to talk about? And I try to be sure they're right, right? You know, so God's really made a way for me. It might be more difficult, isn't it? You know, if take that away from me, and I'd have to find people, wouldn't I, with that? Where are you going to find them? Well, we got family members that aren't saved. We might have some friends that aren't saved. Maybe the people you know at the grocery store, at the bank, post office, maybe, just people you run into. Maybe you could figure out places where people congregate and you do like Jonah did and just go into the city and proclaim the word of God or something like that, right? Maybe door to door, you know, you can do surveys or questionnaires door to door or things like that and get a foot in. I used to do the cancer drive when I was a pastor. I'd do the cancer drive for the neighborhood. Why? Because it got me into people's houses. Maybe I could share with that. But, you know, we got to pray and God will make a way. But it's so important. We can't just die here in these pews. We got to be living for God. We got to be taking the gospel out. I know you love him. I know you want to. You're just afraid. Maybe you're unprepared. Whatever. You know, get prepared. Isn't it? Get prepared. You know, this evangelism explosion program, right now we're going through class. We're about halfway through. And when we're done, guess what? We're going to help train more people. Anybody who will. Anybody who's interested. Because it's such a good thing. It can change our lives. It can make us really good harvesting instruments for the Lord. It'll give you something where you got to say so you don't have to be afraid, what am I going to say? You'll know what you're going to say. Matter of fact, you'll know what they're going to say. Right? And it's just a wonderful thing. Ray, how do we do at your house? We were practicing. He's the first guy we went to visit. Not that he needed it the worst or anything. We just needed somebody that, you know, we didn't want to just go up to a stranger and fall flat on our face, right? So we went to Ray's house, and we just him and hawed and sort of got it out there. And but we had something to say, and we all had a good discussion. And guess what? Dan ended up following up, and he went with your brother, right, and shared the gospel. What happened there? he received the Lord, and he's doing real good. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, even people here in church, new people, those are contacts, aren't they? We shouldn't forget that. That they're really good contacts because they're interested in God. That's why they came, right? So they want to talk about it. And you met them at church, so they expect you to talk about it, you know, with that. Well, I'm going to stop here tonight, but isn't it something? Boy, there's a world out there. This world is passing away, but we got a purpose here in this world, right? Remember that William Booth, head of the Salvation Army, I think he had another vision, or at least in the tracks I was looking at that. You know, at one time, somebody had this vision where they saw this cliff, and they saw these people. They were walking toward the cliff, and as he watched them, he realized they were all blind. They didn't know there was a cliff there. And people would go and step right over the end of the cliff and fall right over. And some of them would go screaming, and some would just fall right over without a sound. Some of them had children in hands and went over. Some of them had elderly people all falling over the cliff. And then he saw that there were people stationed along the cliff, and they were turning some back. But there weren't enough people there. And so many people slipped off in between. And he cried, "What happened?" He turned around for help, and there sat the church under a tree, weaving daisy flowers, you know, just like that. We don't want to be that church, right? There really are situations like people are dying every day, and we know something that's so valuable. And all God is saying, share it, and I will be with you until the end of the world, right? He'll be there with us because it's for his benefit, for the glory and the kingdom of God. He will be there. Let's do it. Pray about it, right? Pray about it. With the intent to act. It's not a question of if we're going to do it. You got to make up your mind you're going to do it. Can you do that tonight? You know, I just came up with that idea. I didn't have that plan. Should we make that commitment to God tonight that we're going to do it? We're going to somehow, whether it's family members or people we know, friends or someplace, maybe at work, whatever, that we could do that? Raise your hand if you want to promise to God that you're going to witness the people. Amen. Lord, I pray that you see our hands tonight. And God, we do this some out of fear, some out of, you know, discouragement, some because other people said it and we should. Maybe out of conviction we're doing it. Maybe we feel you're compelling us to do it. But God, help us be faithful to that call. And Lord, make a way for us. Lord God, if we need a boost, if we need help, if we need a push, Lord, give it to us, oh Lord. If we just need a prime person to do it with, I pray that you'd open that door for us. God, that we could learn to be about your business with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, that reminds me, one more illustration, I guess. I used to be in a prison ministry down in Illinois, down there. I'd go every Thursday. And I was living down there alone for a few years, about 3 years or so. And I invited my youngest brother down there. And he came down. And, you know, so I took him to prison, to the county jail with me every Thursday. And I took him along. And the jailers let him in with me, the whole thing. Well, there's this one guy in the county jail where I had been talking to him, but he started losing his mind. Matter of fact, Otis Livingston said, "Oh, that poor guy's." And I prayed for him. And you know what? His mind snapped back. And he got into Bible study. And you know what? Every week he'd have one or two inmates ready to receive the gospel when we got there. So we open the cell block, and me and my brother Marty step in there, and right away one guy grabs Marty and says, "What can I do to be saved?" I tell you what, that was a door for Marty. He went back inspired. He testified at church. It just opened up the whole world to him. You know, God will open up the world to us too, won't he? He'll make a way for us. Just be faithful. We might have to step out there, but God will meet us. God will be there. So, Lord, I pray, fill us with your Spirit. Guide us, O Lord God. Give us the heart to share you. Lord, even, Lord, let thy Holy Spirit guide us in what we should say and who we should talk to. We just ask for you tonight. Lord, help us to be busy in our Christian life, doing what you called us to do. Help us not to be like the lepers at first that just ate of the treasure and hid the treasure. But God, help us too to be convicted, compelled to share the word with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm inspired. You know, it's so easy for me to take days like normal. I've got to really always shine my shoes of my soul in the morning when I'm out there with those people. Because, you know, it'd be easy to make small talk. It'd be easy to smile and just do that. And some people, that's how you got to do it because you don't have their confidence yet, you know. But then, you know, I always got to be ready. Today is the day. And you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you, but you got to be aware. You got to remember when you're knocking on that door, why you're knocking on that door, right? To share the gospel, to be God's ambassador. Amen. Yes, Bonnie. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, Dr. Oz probably isn't the best source for spiritual wisdom or anything like that.